Chapter 1. The Origins of Calvinism. The spread of Calvinism was unusual. In contrast to Catholicism, which had been maintained by civil and military force, and Lutheranism, which survived in becoming a religion of politics, Calvinism had, for the most part, only its consistent logic and its fidelity to the Scriptures. Within a generation, it spread across Europe. Charles Miller. Calvinism is rooted in the 16th century religious renewal in Europe that we refer to as the Protestant Reformation. But this great movement was not an isolated phenomenon. It did not simply begin with Martin Luther's act of posting his 95 theses on the church doors of Wittenberg on October 31, 1517, even though those theses were soon translated into numerous languages and distributed to the masses. In one sense, the Reformation originated in Luther's so-called Tower experience, which probably predated his theses by a few years. Through this experience, Luther came to grasp the definitive doctrine of the Reformation: justification by gracious faith alone. But in another sense, the Reformation flowed out of earlier attempts for renewal, the most notable of which were led by Peter Waldo and his followers in the Alpine regions, John Wycliffe and the Lollards in England, and Jan Hus and his followers in Bohemia. Lesser-known divines, such as Thomas Bradwardine and Gregory of Rimini, came even closer to what would become known as Protestant theology. All these men are properly called forerunners of the Reformation rather than reformers because, although they anticipated many of the emphases of the Reformation, they lacked a complete understanding of the critical doctrine of justification by gracious faith alone. These forerunners of the Reformation were morally, doctrinally, and practically united in their opposition to medieval Roman Catholic abuses. This opposition is critical to note, since the Reformation began primarily as a reaction to the abuses of Roman Catholicism. Luther did not set out to destroy the Roman Catholic Church and to establish a new church. His initial intent was to purge the Roman Catholic Church of abuses. Reformed theology thus cannot be fully understood apart from its reaction to problems in the Church, such as 1. Papal abuses. The medieval papacy was rife with abuses in theology and practice. Immoral conduct was lived out and condoned, even by the popes, and grace became a cheap, commercialized religion throughout the church via a complex system of vows, fasts, pilgrimages, masses, relics, recitations, rosaries, and other works. The papal imperative was to do penance, as translated in the Vulgate, rather than be penitent or repent, as Jesus commanded. 2. Papal pretentiousness. Biblical and historical study by the Protestant forerunners led them to question papal claims to apostolic authority as the head of the church. For example, the reformers concluded that the rock on which the church was built, see Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, was the content of Peter's faith rather than Peter himself, which meant that the Bishop of Rome possessed no more than a position of honor. Though the Protestants initially were willing to accept a reformed papacy that would honorably serve the church, the cruel opposition of the popes to reform eventually persuaded many of them to regard the Pope of Rome as Antichrist. Cross-reference the Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 25, section 6. 3. Captivity of the Word. Protestants taught that the Roman Catholic Church held Scripture captive, withholding it from the lay people and thus keeping them in bondage to church councils, bishops, schoolmen, canonists, and allegorists for interpretation. The Protestants worked hard to deliver the Bible from this hierarchical captivity.